Hi, this is Farah Hürdüzü from Gettysburg Holiday Inn Hotel, and we are in Pennsylvania Paranormal Conference. And my guest is famous Mark Nesbitt. Hi, Mark, how are you today?
I fared just fine.
So I know you very well, but I would like you, I know you very well, but I would like you to say something about yourself to Jerry Pippin radio show listeners.
Okay, well, actually, I arrived in Gettysburg while I was still in college, and I worked for the National Park Service here as a park ranger from 1970 till about 1975 or 76. And at that point, I quit the National Park Service and started my own research and writing business, and did several things for local businesses, and then did some things for the National Park Service, and eventually wrote a book called If the South Won Gettysburg, and that came out in 1981, and I'd written some kids' books, some children's books. About 1991, then I got a contract to write a book called 35 Days to Gettysburg. And that was, I took two unpublished diaries, one Union soldier, one Confederate soldier. I put the two diaries together, the daily entries side by side, day by day, through the entire Gettysburg campaign. So you can actually get into the hearts and minds of these two American enemies as they're on a collision course. They end up fighting within musket shot of one another here at Gettysburg. But at the same time, in 1991, I also signed a contract to do a book called Ghosts of Gettysburg. And that was a collection of ghost stories that I'd pulled together over 12 or 15 years, starting back in 1970 when I was a park ranger. I lived in several of the houses out on the historic houses out on the national park. So every time I'd go to move into one of those houses, I would ask them, what's the history of the house? And they had a packet of the history. And then I'd say, well, okay, what are the ghost stories? And the official National Park Service line is that, though, there are no such things as ghosts here. So there were no packets. So I had to collect these stories myself through various people who had lived in the different houses. I put all those stories together, and in 1991 it came out as the book Ghosts of Gettysburg, the very first of six volumes now. The interesting part about that is that even though it took 12 to 15 years for me to collect those stories, once that first book came out, within 2 to 3 weeks after it came out, I started getting letters and faxes and phone calls from people saying basically, aha, my neighbors are wrong, I'm not crazy. That they also had experiences here at Gettysburg. They were afraid to say anything about them because they thought people were going to make fun of them.
But you made the ghost official.
Yeah, I guess I did. I made the
Google.
haunted Gettysburg official with the stories that I've written using from the books. And people realized that other people were having experiences here. And to this day, I still get letters from people.
Experiences, letters,
Yep.
story there.
Yeah.
So, most of us, we know that Gettysburg is the most haunted town in the United States. Why Gettysburg? Why is it so special with the ghosts?
Well, that's a really good question. And the easy answer is that so many men died here within 3 days. And then that's just true. That's there 51,000 casualties in 3 days. That's killed, wounded, and missing. Anywhere from 6,000 to 8,000 were left dead on the battlefield right after the 3 days, and probably another 15 to 20, 25,000 died within a few weeks afterwards of their wounds, because you would be wounded and it would seem like you were going to recover. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, you would have an infection, gangrene or something, and then die within hours. So we really don't have a handle on the number of men who actually died because of Gettysburg. So that's the easy, explanation for it. But it could be a little more complicated. For example, there's one theory about the geology here at Gettysburg, the fact that there's tons and tons and tons, millions of tons of granite in this area. It's very common. Anyone who's been to Gettysburg will remember their trip through Devil's Den and
Devil's Den, very
those
famous.
huge granite boulders, where a component of granite is quartz. And quartz is known to be reactive to electrical energy. I mean, you're wearing a quartz watch on your wrist, and so am I. Everybody has a quartz. And a stone, a crystal, actually reacts to, vibrates to electrical energy provided by a very tiny battery. So it is very sensitive to that. It's also sensitive to pressure and other things. But the electromagnetic property is important because we know that humans, when they die, when they are in extremis, or when they are being tortured, or when they are being under great stress, give off vast amounts of electrical energy. When the DNA unravels in our bodies, it gives off what one scientist called a light shout. In other words, it's 1,000 times more than your normal resting state when you die. And it's the theory that maybe the quartz in the rock here at Gettysburg has captured this, and under certain conditions it will actually replay this, kind of like a psychic DVD. And people, not necessarily people who are sensitive to it, I mean, it helps if you are, not necessarily, because some people who have never had a paranormal experience in their lives will come to Gettysburg and all of a sudden they'll see something or hear something. And also the interesting thing is you'll hear a paranormal event more often than you will see one. Everybody wants to know if you've ever seen a ghost. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have to say, well, no, that doesn't mean you haven't experienced one. Gettysburg, of all the stories that I've collected, well over 600 stories, probably 60% are auditory. Mm-hmm. You'll hear gunfire.
Yes.
You'll hear bugles. You'll hear men shouting out on the battlefield when there is no source.
Mm-hmm.
And the visual is only about 10 or 11% of all the stories that I have.
So most of us, we have a general fear of the ghosts. We believe that, personally I don't believe, but people believe that ghosts are trying to hurt you, harm you, to scare you. But what I think, ghost is a soul who is suffering, mm-hmm. because it's stuck between two dimensions. So how people can get rid of this fear?
Ah, that's a good question. Well, first of all, the fact that the thought that ghosts will harm you is a Hollywood myth. It's fiction, and they do that to make it sensational, you know, to sell tickets. Of the 600 stories that I've collected, as I said, I've come across two that where the spirit is actually malevolent. It seems to want to harm somebody, and they're not at Gettysburg. They're down in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
The Fort McHenry one is down there. But most of the stories that I have, it's kind of sad because it seems all that the spirits want is to be seen or be recognized or be noticed. It's almost as if it's been such a long time that they've had any contact with humans. It's like they're begging to be noticed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think anybody should fear ghosts because it might be a little strange, you know, an unusual experience, but I don't know, not any more unusual than seeing an unusual animal out in the field, you know, seeing a hawk flying, you know, something like it. So it seems to be, at least here at Gettysburg, very natural.
A friend of mine, in fact, a doctor, used to say that don't get scared of the dead people. If you are scared, you have to be careful with the living people because they may be much more dangerous than the dead people.
That's for sure. Yeah, it's probably more in danger of the live people than you are.
Yeah.
But it's not here at Gettysburg. Gettysburg's pretty, we don't have a very big crime rate around here.
No, Gettysburg is the most very peaceful place.
Yeah, it is.
It's a very peaceful place. So there are many ghost hunters all over the country, and there are parapsychological ghost hunting clubs or societies. What is required to be a serious ghost researcher or ghost hunter? Being a psychic or having the correct technical equipment?
I think maybe a little of both, you know. And I think what happens is that once you get into it, you maybe get a little more sensitive. A lot of people can develop psychic, not powers, I don't mean to use that term, but maybe a little more sensitivity to the paranormal. And a lot of people have done that. I know, for example, Rick Fisher, who's sponsoring the Pennsylvania mm-hmm. Paranormal mm-hmm. Conference, is after a number of years of taking photographs, he can be walking along, and all of a sudden he'll suddenly turn, take a picture, and there'll be these mysterious orbs, mm-hmm. which some people believe are spirits,
yeah.
spirit energy in them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I would ask him, I said, gee, Vivek, how'd you do that? He goes, I don't know, I just felt it. There's somebody behind me. And sure enough, there were these orbs. I think what everybody's leaning towards now is a more scientific method of both detecting and recording. The paranormal.
Also, yes.
And what we're trying to do now, for example, is when someone, you're in a allegedly haunted site, and if you have a electromagnetic field detector, which apparently these entities have some sort of electromagnetic quality to them, because the detectors will spike in the presence of paranormal mist or the orbs. And once that happens, then you'll call out, you know, picture. Someone will be there to take a picture of you. Probably 8 out of 10 times, there's an orb in the picture that has just set off the meter. And what that does is give us a double scientific standard there. All of a sudden, the meter goes off, you get a picture of something there. So you have both detected it and recorded it. Same thing with cold spots. Either using a thermal scanner or a thermal probe, basically a thermometer on a stick, you know, that you can reach farther away from your body, or even if you just feel a cold spot, all of a sudden you call out picture, someone takes a picture, and you see if you can get an orb or a paranormal mist in that photograph. So it gives you a double method of detecting and also recording these things.
And the existence of the ghosts has another meaning for us. It says that life is endless, physical body dies, but the real essence, the basic, is the human soul. And human soul keeps living in another dimension. So isn't this a big lesson for the human beings?
I think that's the interesting part about this whole
phenomenon.
Study, and the phenomena is that, first of all, you have historians here at Gettysburg, and they will, you know, go on endlessly talking about the guys that fought here and everything. But once they're dead, once the soldiers are dead, their interest, other than where they were buried, the historian's interest in them ends.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
mm-hmm.
the paranormalist's interest begins after these men
yes.
are dead, because, you know, every major religion in the world believes that something goes on after we die.
Mm-hmm.
And some pretty great prophets have assured us that this happens, and yet we still try and find proof. And in a way, ghost hunting is an attempt to prove that something goes on after we die, and that's pretty interesting part about it, I think.
Definitely. And what will be your next book project?
I'm just finishing. In fact, I just finished a book. It's at the printer right now. It's called A Ghost Hunter's Field Guide, Gettysburg and Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of takes Gettysburg as an example of how you can go and hunt ghosts
mm-hmm.
and learn something about them, and then gives you specific sites on the Gettysburg battlefield that are most active. But I'm also working on Ghosts of Gettysburg 7. There are enough stories to do a seventh
yes.
book, so.
And you are also organizing ghost tours. And you
Correct.
Have a kind of ghost tour travel agency.
Of course, we do ghost tours here
mm-hmm.
in Gettysburg, Ghosts of Gettysburg candlelight walking tours, and they're based on the stories from my books.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we've been, we have 6 different tours coming up this summer of 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be through 2 or 3 more tours than a lot of people have experienced with us yet. So we have quite a few tours. And the other thing that we're doing recently is ghost investigations. Our tour center is actually a historic house. It was
mm-hmm.
here at the time of the battle. And periodically we have ghost investigations where I actually go in and teach people how to use this equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a chance to, we have the run of virtually the whole house, and people can walk around when all the tourists and visitors are gone, and try and detect ghosts and then try and record the ghosts. It's a pretty active place. The other night I put my digital recorder, which is on voice activation, mm-hmm. in there, and it was a nice quiet night in Gettysburg. It was a Sunday night and there was a snowstorm, so not much was going on. And starting at about 4:59 in the morning, it started to record, and it recorded 40 minutes.
40 minutes?
40 minutes of electronic voice phenomenon when there was, well, there was no sound, obviously, it was quiet, but it recorded, it's probably some electronic way, mm-hmm. but 40 minutes of EVP.
This is great. This is very interesting. So, if somebody wants to join to your ghost tours, how and where they can find you?
Well, probably the easiest way is they could check on our website, which is ghostsofgettysburg.com, mm-hmm. and that gives all the details on all the tours and everything. Or they can leave us with their email address. We'll put them on an emailing list, and we'll let them know when everything happens. Or if they're coming to Gettysburg, they can always call and make a reservation. We always request reservations because we do get kind of busy in the summertime. And the phone number is 717-337-0445.
And one last question. What is the best season to see the ghosts?
The best season to see the ghosts? Well, you know, a lot of people think it's around the anniversary of the battle, mm-hmm. but I don't know whether there's more ghosts then or just more people to see them. Mm-hmm. I think a nice time of the year to come to Gettysburg would be the first 3 weeks in June. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, it's kind of quiet, and everything's still open, but it's nice and quiet. And also September is a great time because, you know, you're getting into the fall. A lot of people have done their summer vacations. Kids are back in school. So if you have some spare time, September is always a good time. October gets real busy, so I kind of recommend that people, you know, if that's the only time you can come, fine, but it gets pretty busy in October, but first 3 weeks in June and September are always wonderful times to visit Gettysburg and look for ghosts.
There, Mark, thank you very much for this interview.
Thank you, Farah.
You have a very special place for us with your books and with your studies, and I wish you many, many goals.